Welcome to the Mystic Millennials podcast, hosted by Abby
and Bethany. This is a podcast to share the reality of spirituality and what it is really like to be 20-somethings navigating a spiritual awakening.
Join us weekly as we become your new spiritual BFFs, sharing all about our own journeys while celebrating the amazing people who inspire, motivate, and encourage us to embrace our modern mysticism. Let's get into the episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Mystic Millennials podcast. We're so excited to be recording today because this is a topic very close to both of our hearts. And I think, well, both of us think it's a really important conversation to have. We're wanting to talk about the coaching, spirituality, just industry that we're in and how we've been feeling about the unregulated nature of it, of money, of, you know, our capitalistic society and how that impacts on how this industry is kind of running. It's a bit of a nuanced topic.
Yeah, it's a bit different for us because I think you guys are used to us being obviously quite chatty and funny. And I mean, that's going to come through today, no doubt. I mean, just before we jumped on this, we were talking about how we both got Harry Styles tickets. So, you know, nuanced in that it can jump in any direction. We're so excited. Abby got pod tickets. I'm very jealous. She's going to be like so close
to Harry.
It's
so close.
Yeah, I know. God damn. And it's going to be, it's Feb 2nd. Is that, it's going to be in Aquarius season. Like it's going to be in his season.
Oh, shut the fuck
up. Get out of here.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm getting so dressed up. I think I'm also, that's like just for my, okay, already sidetracked, but let's start light before we get into the slightly more heavy stuff.
Yeah.
That's literally my dad's birthday is just after. Oh no, I think it's Pisces season. Anyways, not important. No. Anyways, doesn't matter.
I think it is just Pisces.
I think anyway, it is. Yeah. Anyways, not matter. Just after that is my dad's birthday. He wants to go to Bali for his 50th. And so literally the next day I'm going to like fly to Bali. So I'm
what an iconic moment for you.
2022. It's a write-off. We're at the end of April. I'm writing it off. The next 8 months, I am not going to be here. I'm not.
Present. Absolutely. I'm legitimately already planning my outfit. I've got a mood board on Pinterest already. I'm going to get so dressed up. I'm going to be so glittery.
It's going to be so fabulous. Let us know, please, on the stories or in the inbox. We've been getting some messages from you guys. Love it so much. Yes. You guys have been loving the memes. Thank you. And yeah, let us know if you're going. Let us know what you think of his, Lizzo and Harry at Coachella. Say no more. And Shania Twain. Oh, okay. But back to capitalism. this is something that basically almost every time me and Abby catch up for a call, text, whatever, it's something that we talk about because it's something that we see a lot of. It's something that we have both really experienced being in this industry. And it's something that I don't see being talked about a lot. Someone that I do know, we've done a coaching course together before. Her name's Selena May. She's really amazing, like psychic, intuitive. She's fabulous. And she shared a lot about it recently. And it really got me thinking, I'd never seen that posted before. Like people kind of talking about their experience in the spiritual industry of noticing how it's become very money oriented and it's become it's become a really kind of tricky topic because I don't know if people feel comfortable talking about it. I mean, obviously in general, money is an uncomfortable topic. People often, you know, don't love talking about it, whether because of personal, you know, sensitivities about their own money situation or just a general uncomfortableness that we're all kind of taught. But with, you know, with the spiritual business world absolutely booming, particularly over the pandemic. I mean, I can't even fathom, like it was so hard when we were younger to find astrology things, to find, you got horoscopes in magazines and newspapers and you could find books at certain, you know, old woo-woo crystal shops that had lots of dragon and fairy thing. You know what I mean? Like it was very that kind of like new agey. Whereas now with this more modern mysticism, modern spirituality, there's so much more accessibility. It's become so much more mainstream. And with that has become this kind of excess and boom of people who people who have access to like a vulnerable community, but maybe necessarily aren't treating it with the respect and the care that it deserves. I hope that makes sense.
100%. And I mean, as well, I think there has been a big shift in paradigms about the worthiness of spiritual services and people, and like the deservingness of receiving money for mm-hmm. that. Because I know, like, I've seen people post about that as well, that like, you know, just because you're in the spiritual realm doesn't mean that you shouldn't accept money for your services. But exactly what you were saying, it's almost like the scales have tipped in the other direction in a lot of spaces that I've been seeing recently. And it's gotten me feeling really uneasy about being a spiritual business owner,
mm-hmm.
and being in this realm. And I mean, even the coaching industry as well. You know, you see so many posts about becoming a coach and making, you know, the big bucks, that it seems as though the visibility of the industry is becoming more about making money than serving. And I'm not saying it's everyone either. I'm just saying the visibility of it, and it's what we're seeing a lot of, is so much value being attached on the price rather than serving and, you know, connecting and being invested in the transformation of the people that you are serving as well.
Yeah, 100%. And like Gabby, oh my God, sorry, Abby.
Excuse me, did you forget my name?
I've got your name. My coach is Gabby, and I always get, and I have another friend, Abby, so I'm just always getting too many Gabbies and Abbies in my life. Like Abby was saying, like exact same for me, it's brought up so much uncomfortability in what I'm doing. And I think that's like, I guess why we wanted to talk about this is we obviously want to share our experience, because it's something that I think it's one of those things that like people are thinking it, no one's saying it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I feel like once that kind of, I mean, me and Abby have been feeling this way for a long time, in just things that we've seen, or like within the online spiritual space. You know, we're both very active. We both follow a lot of different people and do all the courses, all the things, as you guys know.
Yeah.
And it's something that we've been thinking of separately for a long, long time. And we actually really only spoke about it in the last 2-3 months, maybe, if that, you know, like. And because again, there's that kind of fear factor of like, oh, maybe this is just, because this is something that we're taught is that's just your limiting belief around money. That's your money reality. It's kind of, it's like, oh, well, if I'm thinking that something's too, that's the main thing that I have a fucking issue with, is like being taught that like, if I see this everywhere, I do not see this in one particular practitioner. It is a really big kind of like tool that people use in their spiritual businesses, is like teaching people and clients that if you think it's too expensive, then that's your limiting belief of what you believe you can spend, what you believe you can invest. And it's like, actually, it is too expensive for me. Like there is a certain point where, yes, I totally believe in working with money mindset and money manifestation. Natalia Benson has been someone that I've worked with, and I know you've worked with. She's shifted my money beliefs hugely, because she puts together the practical of, okay, how can I bring money in? How can I organize my money? But also the metaphysical of like understanding my subconscious beliefs around money and all those sorts of things are so important, but also some things just are too expensive for where you're at. And I think I'm someone who personally, I've gotten into a lot of debt chasing this spiritual personal development. I don't even want to think about how much money I've spent over the past 2 years in courses, coaches, and a lot of them very, very worth it. And I would not at all be the person I am or who I am today without them. But that does not exclude from the fact that I'm now in a financial shit show because I wanted to better myself, because I wanted to connect more deeply with my intuition and my spirit. And because the spiritual community is so money focused at the moment, that has left me on the like bones of my bum. And I'm kind of sick of people telling me that it's my limiting beliefs that are putting me here, and that it's because I don't believe that I can be rich and abundant. Because the fact of the matter is that I do believe in myself. I believe in what I do for my business, but I don't believe that I should be charging way out of my belief of what I think is ethical for my services in order to succeed. Like, that is cooked, in my opinion.
It is cooked. And thank you so much for being so vulnerable about that, because I know a weight was lifted off my shoulders when we started conversing about this, because I've also invested a shit ton of money in myself. So much. And I have similarly caught myself in a financial shit show. Mm. So I know that it's not just the two of us. Mm. And it's something I've experienced as well, that for an industry and for people who are talking about and promoting being empowering and empowering you, I've seen so many practices and tactics in whatever it is, marketing, selling to you in sales calls, that are inherently disempowering. I've been in situations where I said no to investing in a particular course, and afterwards this particular person went on their stories and spoke about it in a very, like, shaming — she didn't name me, but shaming.
She wouldn't want to.
And it was you know, saying like, people don't want to invest in themselves to better themselves. And of course, investing in yourself has so many varied returns, whether that's monetary or, you know, what you were saying, improving yourself. I too would not be the person I am or have this awareness that I have without, you know, the courses, the coaching, hypnotherapy that I've invested in. But at the same time, it is fucked that
I kind of wish
this is the position we're in now.
There was someone, and that's where I think the ethical thing comes into it, is like, for me, when I've had clients that have come up and said, you know, they want to do coaching with me, which is amazing. I love it. It's what I'm moving more towards. And you know, I'm currently kind of doing some just like really light promotion for my next round of coaching. And she said, look, I'm actually finishing business coaching, you know, at the end of the year. Is it okay if maybe I go on the wait list for that? And I've worked with coaches where if I would have said something like that, they would have said, well, why are you afraid to step up now?
Yeah.
You know, like, kind of almost goading me a little bit into like doing it now. Whereas for her, I was like, yeah, don't put too much on your plate. Do not, like, don't take on too many things. If you want to wait, it'll still be there. My coaching will still be there. You know, I'm not going.
And
that's anywhere.
Another tactic people say.
And that's another tactic. Sure, and that's,
we'll run, yeah, we'll run this again. This might, yeah, be the last time. Well,
that's
time.
Why I've signed up to things before. It's like, this is the last time I'm doing this or whatever. And then they do it again and for cheaper or some damn thing. Like, it's fucking annoying, to be honest with you. And that's what I guess me and Abby want to share. You know, this episode isn't just a rant, and it isn't just to whinge about how we have no money. But you know, even though, sad, no money.
Yeah. we are taking radical responsibility for our situation as
100%.
Well.
100%. I've 100% got myself in this situation. I'm very, very aware of that. Too. There's also been a lot of factors that have kind of made me believe that this was the path to do this. You know, the way to succeed was to do this, was to take the risk and, you know, invest the big amount and blah, blah, blah. But there's also, like, me and Abby just want to share this as a way of like picking up red flags, understanding that if someone is saying these things and it doesn't sit well with you, it doesn't sit well with you. That necessarily is not always a trigger. Someone isn't always there to like trigger you to find out what it is. Some things aren't for us. Some things do not align for us. You know what I mean?
That is okay.
Yes, 100%. And I think like an example of someone whose work that I love that centers around accessibility, and not just like, because they honor their pricing 100%. They honor in their value for what they provide. Remy Gordon, I could me and Abby could both go on and on. We love Remy so much. Remy, I don't know if you listen. I love you so much.
We love Remy.
Light of our lives. And they have such a variety of options to, you know, to invest in them, you know, in terms of like payment options. For example, their latest membership Activate, there's three different pricing tiers. It doesn't matter what you pay, you get everything. The pricing tier doesn't affect what you get. It just affects how much you can give, how much you're able to support Remy in this process. You know what I mean? So there's options for if you can afford less, you pay less. But if you can afford more, you pay more. And I think like for me, that really inspires me in my business to want to do, want to give more, want to, you know, because this is something I said in a coaching class recently, because I was really upset about all this money stuff in the spiritual community. And I was saying, you know, I was trying to price something new that I'm coming out with. And, you know, I was kind of being guided to like, you know, see more value in what I do. And yes, I totally believe what I do is valuable. But what I was saying is I don't want someone to have to go into debt to do what they love. I don't want someone to end up like me where I have had to, and again, this is not a sob story. I'm not trying to make people feel bad, but I'm just people resonate. I'm fine. It's all good. People resonate where like I'm having to count every dollar that comes in and goes out because I have committed to so much and I have invested so much. And unfortunately, I don't know if it's like the spiritual biz, just like being maybe, you know, lots of people are doing it now. The Instagram community is really full and maybe oversaturated. You know, it's really hard running a business. Anyone can relate to that that's ever run a business. It's not specifically spiritual. Running a business is really, really tough, especially when you've invested a lot of money. And I just said, I don't want someone to have to be in this situation where they're really fearful of their money situation. Because they want to do what they love, because they want to better themselves and learn more and work with people that they admire. Like that is just something I never want someone to feel ever, ever, ever. And that's why I love someone like Remy, because they do provide so many options for payment. They provide so many different tiered options. And they're just so considerate in the way that they offer, and I've never once seen like they are not someone who uses manipulative languaging. They're not someone who says, think like those stories that we've been told and seen. Everyone's seen them. You know what I mean? Everyone's seen them on Instagram and stuff, but it's just like, hey, this is what I'm offering. If it calls to you, let's have a chat about it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that's a green flag. That's what you should look out for. You should look out for people who are just speaking to what they love without any questioning or any like, you know, kind of attempt to like trigger any kind of a response from you. It's just like, hey, this is what I love. If you align with it, do that, go for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And something that was coming up for me as you were saying that is so many people who have even come to me for services and people who are seeking out coaching or, you know, even a tarot reading or an astrology reading, they can be in vulnerable positions. People are seeking to understand themselves more. People are seeking connection to better themselves. And for me, I just know at the start of my journey, I was like a massive people pleaser. I would have really been sucked in by a lot of the, you know, red flags that maybe we'll talk a little bit more about in a second, because of the state I was in. And that is one of the huge reasons why I'm feeling so uneasy about being a business owner right now, about being really cognizant about how do I want to act in this realm? How can I act in integrity and ethically?
Yeah.
Because this is an unregulated space. And one of my, that's a huge value for me, to be accessible to people and to be in integrity and ethical in all of my practices.
Absolutely.
So let's maybe, for those listening, we've been around the block. We've been in this for a few years now. We've seen a lot, haven't we? We've seen the good, the bad, the ugly. And
mostly good. We do want to stress.
Mostly good.
Mostly good.
Mostly good.
This is just something that I guess we've just both.
We're very cognizant of being business owners and, you know, as humans in general, we're hardwired to see threats and worse things rather than good things. So when I do see something like this, I'm like, it turns over in my mind a lot. But I also want to call out, I've had such great experiences with practitioners as well. Like Nikki Cosmo does the exact same thing where it's just inviting you in. Mm-hmm. There's no pressuring. You're given what's available to you.
Yeah.
And you can ask for that. And that's what Nikki says. Lesson one of anything you do with her is asking for what you need.
Mm.
So I think that's really beautiful. I've had multiple great experiences. I mean, with the people I work with. So number one, that's also what we both want to highlight, that we're not like,
yes,
the majority of our experiences have been good, but let's go through a few things that have been bothering us and what to look out for to highlight it, so other people are cognizant of it as well when looking for services.
100%. I think for me, my top one that has actually always been trying to speak to me, and I've always just kind of thought that I was wrong, is literally your gut instinct and gut reaction to things. Like, I have always had this really weird feeling when it came to selling, and not necessarily selling as in like, you know what, this, like, because that's what I like to do. I like to just jump on my story and say, hey guys, this is what I'm doing. I'm really passionate. I think it's really cool. Let's just have a chat.
Yeah.
I've always had a really bad feeling in my stomach when I see things being like, are you lost? Do you feel unworthy? Do you like that kind of that? And then be like, this course is for you. This is going to help fix that. Like, for me, that sort of languaging, that disempowering languaging.
Talking to pain points instead of the empowerment.
Exactly. Like, you don't need a course or a coach or a product to make you feel worthy. You're inherently worthy. We all are.
Mm-hmm.
Never. It's like, actually, just Bori always says this, like, these other things, and she said it in terms of like having a business, but I think of it in terms of this, like courses and coaching and and coaches and products and masterclasses and all that sort of stuff. This is the icing on top of us. This does not make us who we are. This, it's like the sprinkles, it's the decoration, it's what helps us get ourselves maybe out of our shell. It's what can help us move through some things that we're going through, but it does not make us who we are. It simply holds space for us to deepen that. You know, like, you don't need a coach to have a business. You don't need a course to tell you how to love yourself. You can do that within yourself. Yeah, it can be super helpful to have a container. But yeah, that for me, as soon as I see that kind of languaging, and I've been encouraged, you know, by different courses and coaches to kind of use that languaging, step into that. And for me, it's just always been a fuck no. I've just never liked it.
I quite literally feel sick about it.
Yes, I do. Me too. I feel like ill. I don't feel, because for me, it just feels like manipulative. I don't like that. And some people don't have that resistance, and that's great for you. That's awesome. But if you feel that resistance within yourself, don't then think that's something wrong with you. Because that's what I've done for the last 2 years, is I've thought, well, there must be something wrong with me. There must be this inherent thing within myself that means that I'm not worthy of abundance. I'm not ready to be a business owner. I don't deserve to be rich, whatever it is. And it's like, actually, that just doesn't align with my values. That doesn't align with my personal ethics, because they are different for everyone.
Yeah.
Just because you're in the spiritual community does not mean you're ethical, does not mean that you are necessarily a conscious, you know, person who's going to think about others. That's completely personal. You know what I mean? And so understanding that everyone in the spiritual space is super, super different. And if something doesn't align with you, that does not reflect on you. It simply is your soul and your intuition trying to say, hey, I don't think that space is for you. Let me find someone where, instead of getting a gut ache at the thought of investing with them, it's a fuck yeah. Because some things are a fuck yeah. I've signed up for so much stuff where I've been like, absolutely.
Yes.
And same. I've done a lot of things where I've agonized over it after I've committed, because I'm like, oh my God, this feels stressful. This feels anxiety riddled. And it's like, actually, that was my gut just trying to tell me, hey, take a bit of time to think about it, because maybe this isn't the exact right energy for you at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. And that's another thing that I would like to highlight. Everybody makes decisions at different times. Mm-hmm. Everybody goes through their process of thinking, you know, weighing up a whole heap of different things. Yeah. And so that would be another red flag for me if someone is putting a timer on your investment. Let me explain. I have been in sales calls before where, you know, it's a requirement before you sign up to jump on a discovery call or whatever they call it. It's a sales call to discuss, you know, what the program is about or what you're investing in. I've had great experiences with those. Mm-hmm. And luckily when I was first doing, like, back a couple of years ago, I had such good experiences on those calls. Mm-hmm. I was like, it was a genuine, it was what you were talking about. Like with Remy, does this vibe with you? Like,
yeah,
here's what I'm offering.
Yeah. Same with all my foot. I don't actually think you've had some pretty bad sales call. I'm quite lucky. They've been quite good. You know,
mine in the past year I've had a couple of baddies, but, in the ones in the beginning, it was so great. And I have had experiences where they would do, you know, talk to me about what it was all about. And at the end, they said invest now. It was like fast action reward. Invest now or it goes up by double or something to try and get me to invest there on the spot, make a decision there on the spot. Despite me, before the call, I didn't know the pricing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what was included.
Mm-hmm.
I had to sign up to the sales call to get any semblance of information.
Yeah. Red flag in of itself.
Red flag. And I mean, okay, to be fair, maybe people don't, it's a bit iffy for me, the pricing not being available before you, I don't know. Yeah. I personally wouldn't do that. I don't feel comfortable with that. But further to that, at the end of the call, I have had two experiences where they have asked for my credit card or debit card for them to enter to complete the transaction. They would not give me the link to do it. These people have a lot of followers. They're very well known. And you can guarantee if I have spoken about someone on my Instagram, it's not them. So you won't know. I don't want to call anyone personally out on this. We're just wanting to have a conversation and bring awareness.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. Anyone that we actively work with is obviously
not these kinds of people. Okay.
Because that is a big fucking red flag.
Yeah, it's a big red flag.
Oh my God.
The first time that I ever experienced that, I felt so pressured, so backed into a corner. Another red flag. If you're ever feeling those feelings, put the brakes on.
Yeah. Put the boundary up.
Yeah.
Again, it is not them triggering this part of you that is afraid to commit or afraid to invest in yourself. It is a pressure and it's a fucking scare tactic.
It's scarcity. It's disempowering and it's not motivation as they make it out to be. It's manipulation. Manipulating you, especially people who are in vulnerable positions, to give them their money. And I'm not saying that that's maybe for them that worked. Maybe that's been really great and that's how they make decisions, but it's just a fact that every single person, trauma exists. Everybody's mind is different. Every single person makes decisions at different times.
And just because someone has a spiritual business, they've got the Reiki training, they've got the whatever the fuck, does not give them the right to tell you how you feel or how you should feel or how to make a decision or how to spend your money. And I just want everyone to just like sit and breathe that fucking in for a second, because there is no qualification in the fucking world. And this is something else, like in terms of red flags, in terms of like what to look for, ask people, what training have you done? What's your qualifications? Like, where have you studied? Who's your mentors? Who's your coaches? That sort of stuff. Because unlike being a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a therapist or whatever the fucking thing, even, you know, I was saying this to Abby, like, you know, in terms of examples that, you know, my other job's a makeup artist. You don't have to be qualified to be a makeup artist, but it makes a fucking difference in what you do, or you don't have to have experience. I should say, you don't have to have experience in being a makeup artist, but it helps. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's something to look for, is like, how are people investing in themselves? How have they invested in themselves? Not necessarily with like money, but like time, like what are they learning? Who have they worked with? That sort of thing can help you understand, okay, this person has a fair bit of experience with what I'm dealing with. Because again, like Abby said, a lot of us come into this space quite vulnerable, seeking a safe space, seeking understanding, seeking to be heard and cared for. And just because someone has a spiritual online business doesn't necessarily mean that they've done the coaching certification, that they have looked into, you know, trauma-informed communication and boundaries and consent and all these sorts of things that are really, really important in the coaching space. But I think a lot of people think that it's just kind of talking to people. So they just start a coaching business out of thin air. And some people, that's great and that's amazing. But again, check in with what's important to you. Because for me, I personally don't feel comfortable fully launching my coaching business. You know, at the moment I do like astrology coaching. So it's just teaching astrology through coaching. I wouldn't feel comfortable properly coaching someone until I've completed my certification that I'm doing now. You know, because yeah. I'm like, I don't have all my resources yet. You know, you never know how someone's going to meet you. And so, yeah, again, just having a look at what are my values around this and then finding someone that meets those.
Yeah. And I'm exactly the same. I have a certification that I could be saying right now that I'm a hypnotherapist. Mm-hmm. It was in my, and I have multiple classmates that are practicing hypnotherapists from getting that certification. It was in my values, my ethics, that I didn't feel as though I had enough knowledge to act in integrity in being a hypnotherapist. I don't feel comfortable putting that title next to my name. I'm seeking further education. I've now, well, this is my second hypnotherapy certification. But, you know, that's what's valuable to me. And I've been, I mean, in different coaching spaces as well, you might be made to feel that, like, and that's another red flag, being shamed, any feelings of shame.
Oh my God. Yes.
Or, yeah, just any of that kind of languaging coming up. Red flag.
Again, yeah, like being shamed for wanting to wait, being shamed for not feeling ready, being shamed for, I mean, I've been shamed before for not wanting to charge more for things. And been told that it's because of my money mindset, my limiting beliefs. And I'm like, actually, it's because I don't find it ethical to charge, you know, over $2,000 for a 2-month course. That's ridiculous to me. You know what I mean? Like, that for me is something that I'm so firm in, because I'm like, that is just not, again, it's not in line with my, it's not what I believe this spiritual space should be. This should be a place of expansion where we have fun, where we get to do and learn amazing things from beautiful people who want to share because it's something that lights them up. And I think, yeah, for both me and Abby, that's something that we've both kind of lost in the absolute whirlwind of money in the spiritual space, and feeling like the only way to survive by having a spiritual, well, this is my reflection. I don't want to speak for Abby, but you know, for me, since going full time in January, feeling like the only way I can survive is by taking on these tactics, doing these things. And you know, what's happened is it's not worked because it's not in alignment with me. Nothing's fucking worked. You know what I mean? But going back to my beauty business since moving, because the astrology wasn't working because I was putting so much fucking pressure on myself, because I saw all these other people charging arms and legs. So I was like, I guess this is what we do now. I guess I should be having really long courses and really expensive things. No, I enjoy just doing little readings. I enjoy just doing little fun things on my stories and that. But it was always like, okay, but like follow it up, chase it up with a lead, or message them for coaching or whatever. It's like, if someone just wants a reading, they just want a reading. You know what I mean? And that's what's worked in my makeup business now, is I post makeups that I like, that I've done. I have a fun time with my customers. They tell their friends, who get their friends to come. Like, that is going well. Minimal to no effort.
Yeah. Because of the energy you're in with it. Yeah.
And here I am with the astrology, slogging it out, second guessing every fucking thing that I'm doing, feeling so much shame because I'm not killing it in my biz, or I'm not hiring people, or I'm not expanding, and I'm not doing all these things. But it's like, actually, what I just want to do now is I want to coach a few people because I love teaching tarot and astrology, and I want to do some readings and jump on live every now and then and just chat with my community that I've built. Like, you don't have to be this CEO. You don't have to have this big fucking business that is this huge thing. Like, some people's goals just aren't there. And again, that's been a source of people trying to shame me for that and saying, well, why don't you feel like you have potential? It's like, I do, but this is it. This is my potential. This is my goal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the issue in when you're inviting in clients as well. It's because it's like, that's where the paradigm is shifting in the whole industry. So then it's being reflected in how people are inviting in customers or clients into their business. So I think we should talk about how we want to move forward with this in our businesses.
I was thinking the exact same thing. Get out of my brain.
I was just receiving it in that moment.
Ooh, little psychic abilities.
So moving forward, what kind of things do we want to bring forward in our businesses?
Yeah, 100%. It's definitely made me rethink a lot of how I share things, you know, what languaging I use when I post. Getting back into more like an intuitive flow of like posting what feels really right. You know, I'm currently, you know, trying to market and launch a tarot mentorship, which, you know, I kind of was a bit of a random idea that I came up with. It seems really fun. I'm really excited to do, you know, all the content for it. I sat down, I wrote it in 5 minutes, you know, for my stories and stuff, because it just came from my heart. And so I'm just trying to focus more on that in terms of like the actual business. Looking at more giving, less of like, okay, I'm gonna give this free masterclass so that I can then launch this and promo that. It's like, if I want to do it, I'm gonna do it. You know what I mean? And in terms of pricing, not just raising it just because I've done it already. You know, it's something that we both see a lot of in a lot of the spiritual businesses in the whole space is, you know, with every installment of something, the prices go up, and necessarily the value doesn't always go up. You know what I mean? Like what you're actually getting. And, you know, I'm coming into now, this will be my third round of like the astrology coaching. The first round I did it for like 2/3 of the price, cause it was my first round, you know, I just kind of wanted to really run it through, and that's where I was comfortable at. And then the last one, I've set the price. And again, I was talking with someone, they're like, okay, so you know, what's going to be the price for the next round? And again, I felt this pressure to like raise it, but I was like, actually, I'm really happy with what I'm delivering. And I feel like it's absolutely in value. And my clients are telling me that as well. So I'm going to leave it. I'm going to keep it there because it's an accessible price that still honors my value. And I'm looking at also, just constantly having some sort of a promo on, not as a way of like selling and boosting, but so that if someone has a look and they want to work with me, but maybe my regular prices are out of their price range, there'll always be some kind of an offer that they can still get it for that bit. You know what I mean? Like just something there. Again, not as a way to be like, sell, buy this because it's limited or whatever, but just like a constant, you know, a constant, your first reading is always going to be X% off or whatever, something like that. Because that's another thing is I've tried it in the past and it's not worked, is those like, you know, sign up right now, this is the very last day, it'll be this cheap. Because I fucking hate that, because I'm usually first person to I fucking hate it when it goes on sale, like right at the end, because I'm usually the person, if I want something, I'll sign up straight away. I'll buy it. And then it's like, you know, for the last 2 days, it's like, oh, it's just halved in price or whatever. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, that sucks. And you can tell
it does suck.
You can tell it's like a bit of a money grab. Like people are trying to get people to sign up. So they're like, oh, just discount it. But then it's like, does that honor your clients that have shown up, paid full price, are super, super keen to then go, oh, if I just waited, you know?
Yeah, I would feel quite literally sick about doing that as well. Like quite literally sick in my stomach.
Of things. But yeah, that's for me, it's that. And it's also I want to promote more and work with, and this is something that I hope people can take away from this. Like I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I'm supporting coaches and courses and whatever who run their businesses in a way that agree with me.
Yes.
I'm not investing time and money to people who I feel like aren't in alignment with my values anymore. That is something that I'm personally like, I'm quite done. And that's a really easy way for you guys to support the people that you believe in and who you're like, fuck, you know, if this, while we've been talking, if there's people that you've been thinking of that you're like, you know what, this person totally embodies this green flag for me. Like I totally love their content. It lights me up. I feel empowered. I feel safe. I feel valued by this person. That is the person to invest in. That is the person who is going to hold you in a safe, sacred space that is respectful and loving and stable and allows you to grow from a place of like love, empowerment rather from a place of feeling like, well, I'm not enough if I don't do this. I, you know, I'm not good if I don't step up. You know what I mean? 100%. So yeah, that's, I'm going to stop talking now because I just feel like I've just ran.
I will mirror what you just said. And on the pricing thing as well, I have felt the same, like, oh, you know, pricing increase for what?
Yeah. Like I get, and suppose like there are people who are worthy of a pricing increase. You know what I mean? Like there comes a time.
Yeah. It's not to say that I will never, or you will never increase the price of a certain container, but it's like, I mean, we were talking the other day, if you're thinking about someone like a makeup artist, experience, increase in skills,
Investing in extra, totally. I was saying
that's a similar thing.
Yeah, 100%. Like there's kind of an industry standard, you know what I mean? Like makeups are between $100 and $120. That's, I, you know, sometimes I see it for $50. Maybe it's someone in like their first year of business. You know, for me, I've been doing it for 6 years. I'm gonna stick with the 100, you know, like that's in honor of me. But there's makeup artists who get flown across the world to do makeup for all high fashion brands and things like that. And they charge, you know, 400 a face or whatever. That because they've, you know, that's the caliber that they're at. We're not saying that people who are at this really high level, you know, people like Natalia Benson, I know Jessica Lignardo, who I like, oh my God, just love and adore, the most amazing astrologer in the entire universe. You know, there's a 6 month wait to get a reading from her. And I'm pretty sure it's like 300 plus US. She's been doing it for 20 fucking years. You know what I mean? Like and you can just tell from the content that she gives out that she fucking cares so much about what she does and her clients and who she reads for. And so it's about, yeah, like finding people that you feel give their value, like wholeheartedly give their value. And that's what you're saying. Like, you know, you totally honor your value. We're just honoring our value at the moment and just being realistic as well.
Exactly. And so that's probably my first thing, that I am going to be honoring my value. I'm not going to be increasing my prices for the sake. I might even look at, you know, putting it at maybe what people think is a lower price than what I see. But a big value of mine is accessibility. When I launch hypnotherapy, I want to have it accessible to people who want to access it. So offering sliding scale pricing, offering different payment options, meeting people where they are. Secondly, what you were saying as well, I want to do the opposite of the red flags that we were saying. I want to employ empowering language in whatever I'm offering. So talking to, you know, like just what I'm giving, what my vibe is, what's the vibe of the offer, whether it's hypnotherapy or a timeline jump, or if I do a course in the future.
Yeah.
Making the wording not based on pain points, not based on shaming people into investing, making it something that you're really fucking excited about.
Yeah.
That's what I want people to feel if they're investing in one of my services, or if I do a course in the future, maybe I will.
We don't know.
We don't know. I will never force, not that anyone can force. See, this is what I'm talking about with responsibility. I'm trying to be cognizant of my wording. No one can force me into paying something, but I never want to employ manipulative tactics to get you to give me money.
Yeah, exactly. Because
I want you to be excited about it. I want you to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to just know this is like a fuck yes.
Yeah.
And people say that. And I actually felt the ick when I just said that out loud, because I see so many people saying that, but it doesn't seem like it's in integrity.
Yeah.
That they're saying like they want it. People to be a fuck yes. Anyway. So that's me. I'll probably echo every single thing you just said. I just want to operate from, you know, I want to operate in integrity. I genuinely started this business and I started, you know, being interested in learning about hypnotherapy and getting, you know, certified in different things or doing different courses genuinely because I wanted to connect to people. I want to, you know, give you a hand up in probably, I want to help people who've been through similar experiences to me.
Mm.
I want to bring you up, give you a hand up the proverbial mountain is what Jazz always used to say. And I really resonated with that. Like, I want to empower people.
Mm.
And I haven't felt very good about being in this industry for a little bit. So
yeah.
I think it was an important conversation.
I think so too. And as you guys can probably tell, it's something that we're obviously really fired up about. Because again, like we've just reiterated, like it is unregulated, you know, there's no one who out, there's no really industry standards, and there's no one, I don't think there's enough people holding others accountable.
Yeah, because you know, anyone can fucking say that they're an astrologer or a coach. Yeah, anyone absolutely. Can say that they're a coach or an astrologer or, you know, whatever.
Exactly. And the thing is, like, there's nothing wrong with people charging straight out the gate. There's nothing wrong with people self-start. I'm predominantly self-taught in astrology, but yeah. Then I've gone in and I've invested so much time in working with coaches, in courses and books and all that sort of stuff. And you don't have to, but again, for me to be able to charge and to be able to hold people in a vulnerable space and astrology, I'm telling people about themselves. You know, it's a very powerful tool and it's something that I don't take lightly. And if you feel like your coach or mentor or practitioner is taking it lightly, is taking your time and energy and investment very lightly and not seriously, then that's something that you can say that. You can say, you know what? And it's fucking hard. It's really tough to say to the person who you admire, you know what? I don't feel like you're really understanding me with this. I don't feel like I'm really getting what I want to out of this, but yeah. I think that that is the way forward in this industry. I think that's the only way that it has to go without it completely fucking going, you know, without, you know, things going ass over tit, is keeping each other accountable and saying, hey, I saw that you're, you know, I've been in this offering and, I mean, I've signed up for a course for someone, not doing it initially because I planned to do it a few months later. I opened it up. Half the content wasn't in there. They never uploaded what they said they would. They said there was going to be 20 days worth of some little things. There was only 5, you know, and it's like, is anyone holding someone accountable? Is anyone saying, and I still haven't, you know what I mean? Cause this is a really big person in the, and I was like, you know what? For me, I was like, I couldn't be fucked. But I think the way forward through this is we need to be fucked. We need to have the tough conversations with people and call people
forward.
Yeah. Like that made me uncomfortable. The way that you sold that to me, I don't feel comfortable with the way that this is priced at the moment. I don't actually honestly see the value in this for me. And knowing that, again, that's not a reflection on you. That's not you having,
there's nothing wrong with you.
No, there's nothing wrong with you. We all have different money stories. And I think there's people who, I think that's part of the cool thing about the spiritual businesses expanding, is we get to find people who we see ourselves in and who reflect our stories. And I just think for me, it's become really clear seeing who doesn't struggle or hasn't maybe struggled with money in the coaching and spiritual space, and yes, who does slash has, and in how that's reflected. And also the people who are really focusing on their work being accessible. For me, and again, for me, that's just a massive value. I will always look for people who promote accessibility, who use very empowering but also inclusive languaging. Again, Remy just popping to my head, I just love them so much. I'll just talk about them as much as I can. But you know, just like, take the time to find the people that resonate with you and that you feel like you can connect with and that you feel safe with, or at the very least you feel respected by. Because if you don't feel like your time and energy is respected in the sales call, what makes you think that you investing thousands and thousands of dollars is going to change that? Because I can tell you from experience, it isn't.
Preach. I pray that our experiences, sharing our experiences and sharing what has been on our hearts is helpful. I also want to stress, I don't want to make anyone scared to go on a sales call either. That just came to mind because I've had so many good sales calls.
Oh my God. So many of them are just like, just catching up with a friend, you know, like just getting,
and that's a good green flag.
It should be.
Yeah,
that's exactly. A green flag. It should be a casual conversation. Hey, what do you want to learn? Oh, cool. This aligns with me. Or also, you want to learn this? You know what? I'm actually thinking of someone maybe different. Have you looked into this? Have you tried the, like, giving other opinions instead of it just being, okay, this is what I'm offering. Okay, this is the money. Are you ready to invest? Are you not? Okay, well, that's your limiting belief, blah, 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 whatever the fuck. I feel like I said limiting belief about 100 times in this episode.
People are weaponizing it, honestly.
I'm sick of it. This is not an episode to make you scared of investing in yourself at all. This is just to make you aware that you can invest in a way that honors yourself and doesn't put you in stress,
in alignment,
and in lack and in scarcity and feeling unstable, because no one's going to grow when they're feeling unstable, when they feel like they can't, they're struggling to have base financial security. It doesn't benefit anyone. You know what I mean? And for practitioners out there, you know, maybe this has made you think, oh, you know, I've never really thought about it that way. You know, have a think about, do I know about my clients,
lived experiences.
Do I understand, their experience in, you know, maybe I have a client and maybe they're on a course plan and maybe it always bounces for a few days. Do I maybe want to get in touch? You know, I had one of my coaches reach out, like I coach with her, and she was like, hey, I know you've been struggling with money at the moment. Do we need to pause payments for a month and just, you know, keep going with the coaching, but we can just pause it and resume it. And I was so scared to ask for that, but that's what I actually needed. You know what I mean? So seeing that and just say, hey, do we need to rework the payment plans? As practitioners, we know, you know, it's not the easiest thing to rework it, but it can definitely be done. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's very easy to do. Do you just want to reach out with that person and just say, hey, I'm just checking in, totally fine. If not, I mean, you know, sometimes it's just, I've got 1,000,001 bank accounts. It's hard to make sure there's the right money in fucking any of them.
I know.
that is a nightmare. But yeah, just having a look and just saying, you know, how are you going with that? If you have friends that are in business, just check in on them. Checking in and saying, are you going, how's things going, and be an ear for someone, because it's I mean, I don't know if any other practitioners are out there, but it feels like a really hard time for small businesses. You know, COVID plus coming up to an election in Australia is usually an economic freeze time. You know, people are scared to spend, not scared, but people are hesitant to spend money, all those sorts of things.
Inflation's gone crazy as well.
Inflation's gone fucking crazy.
Interest rates are going up. That's a different story.
But yeah, like checking in with understanding where your clients are at And if you can provide more accessibility, what does that look like for you? What feels in alignment for you? Is that even a priority? If it's not, you've probably hated this episode and you probably aren't even at this point. You know what I mean?
Probably not here right now.
But yeah, like, you know, this is obviously it's a bit of a weird conversation to have. I think it could be maybe slightly like controversial, but we don't say,
but that's exactly why we wanted to do it.
Yeah, honestly. Exactly. We don't say it to start anything. We don't say it because we are, like Abby said, we're calling people out. We're just seeing that this is the way the industry seems to be going. Yeah. And it's something that I feel like just, we both feel like just needs a bit of a light shone on it and just a little bit of, because it's been very freeing and very comforting for both of us having a friend in this who's having a same experience of like, fuck, this is actually, this doesn't feel right to me. And so I hope and pray that for some of you guys, you feel that as well. We'd really love to hear from you if you feel called. Yeah. If this has resonated, share it, you know, pop it on your stories or come into tag our DMs. Someone, whatever. But yeah, pop into our DMs, have a chat with us, because I think it's one of those things that, like we've said, like it's going to take us all holding each other accountable to see some change and to see a shift in the trend. And we love this. I fucking love this industry. I love what I do.
I do too.
And for me, I don't want this to be the reason that I ever stop doing it. You know, I don't want this to be the reason that I give up on what I love and my dreams because I feel pushed out of it, because I'm not a money maker, because I'm not chasing sales, because I'm not hiking up my prices. That's not, you know, for me, that's not what it should be about.
That's not me. That's not me.
I ain't about it. I don't want to eat.
I ain't about. Why do we both break into a British accent?
I don't know. And I mean, Georgia had a full conversation earlier in accents. She was Irish. I was Scottish. It was like 20 minutes.
I do that too. We should do a pod episode. No, we should. We're not going to do that.
Accent. Iconic. I'm just going to go see Harry Styles.
Oh yes.
In London.
I love you, Harry.
Apologies to anyone with a British accent out there. We've totally butchered it. But we love it. We say it with complete admiration.
Yes.
But we love you all. That was a bit spicy. We really let our
actually feel way better after saying everything as well.
Me too. And let us know, you know, if this is the kind of convo you like to hear. I mean, me and Abby have very controversial opinions.
We can let them out.
But most particularly about Twilight. But if this is, you know, I've really enjoyed today's conversation. I think it's something that needs to be said. And I think that, I just hope and pray that it resonates for you guys, that some of you feel heard, feel seen. And you know what, if you feel, you know, everyone has a right to their opinions and everyone has their own bias, their own lived experience that affects the way that they see the world and the way they make decisions and the way they do things. So this is not to say that anyone is doing anything necessarily wrong and horrible, but it's just an invitation to be like, okay, have I even thought about this? Because some people just haven't.
Yeah. 100%. We love you all so much love. And we'll see you next week.
Maybe with a slightly more cheery episode.
Maybe we'll do an astrology, something in astrology.
Yeah. Oh, well, eclipses. Maybe we'll do a little eclipse episode. Oh, fuck and we me. Want, we aren't talking about the Twilight movie.
No, we're not.
I wish we were. I wish we were.
Do you know that didn't even pop off in my mind? I think I'm growing.
No, grow back down again.
I'm regressing.
All right. We love you guys so much. Okay. Chat soon.
Thank you for listening to the Mystic Millennial podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share, leave a review, and make sure to subscribe so you never miss an ep. Thank you.
Bye.